Recently at the Capitol, the State Senate and Assembly both passed legislation billed as the Consumer Credit Fairness Act, designed to protect New Yorkers from unscrupulous and predatory debt collection practices. To explain the measure and why it may be warranted, we're joined by its Senate sponsor, Senate Consumer Protection Committee Chair Kevin Thomas, a Long Island Democrat. Welcome back to the show, Senator.
Thank you so much for having me, especially to talk about this very important bill.
Well, before we talk about what the bill does, can you walk us through the problem that you're trying to address that's presented itself in New York?
So prior to taking office in 2019, I was a legal services attorney working for a nonprofit called NYLAG. And I used to be in court running a clinic called the Volunteer Lawyer for a Day. And this is a program where I would provide free representation to individuals when they get sued over consumer debt transactions. So this could be car loans that people have defaulted on, credit card debt that they've defaulted on, private student loans. And what I had encountered was these companies coming in, filing lawsuits, and having clients who have no idea who the creditor is and why they're being sued. So this measure, that this bill that we passed in both houses, now requires these creditors to provide proof of what they're suing on. You know, you might think this is like, wait a second, aren't they already supposed to have this in court? Mm-hmm. Most of the time they sue and they would scare individuals into settling cases without actually turning over paperwork that would prove the case. So this changes the ball game here.
In terms of implementation of this, if we already have debt collectors who might be willing to break the law if they deem that the risk is worth the reward being scared New Yorkers paying up money that they may or may not be legally obligated to pay, is there an enforcement mechanism with your bill to ensure that debt collectors are playing by the rules that you're hoping to enact?
Yes. I mean, listen, you have the AG's office. There is a lot of oversight here. And the courts are also a gatekeeper. So when they file a lawsuit, they have to attach paperwork that shows where this debt is coming from mm-hmm. to the paperwork, or else it gets rejected. So there's a lot of barriers here and encourages, you know, proper companies to bring a lawsuit and just eliminate the ones that have been breaking the rules altogether.
And can you kind of enlighten us as to the scope of this problem? Is this something where a handful of New Yorkers are dealing with these debt collectors, or are we talking thousands of New Yorkers potentially?
I would say these are thousands of New Yorkers that are affected by this because, you know, the majority of cases that are filed in court here in New York deals with either housing, consumer debt, or family court-related issues. Civil matters, mm-hmm. all right? Not criminal. But these are like the top three. And when you have one major area like consumer credit, you have a lot of individuals, especially during this pandemic where they've lost their jobs and they cannot pay their car loans or their private student loans or their credit card bills. Having these companies offer proof and prove that they actually own the debt is going to be a major, major component to whether these litigants then go ahead and settle the matter, if anything. One of the players in this industry, they're called third-party debt purchasers. Mm-hmm. So when the original creditor, for example, like a bank who had lent out the money, sees that, okay, this individual stopped making a payment and they've gone into default, which is like a couple of months after their last payment, they would go ahead and sell these accounts to another company for pennies on the dollar. And when they do that, these companies come in unknown to the litigant with a whole different name and they would sue. But they would not show proof before. With their filing where this debt came from, now they have to. So if a consumer slash litigant is going to look to settle a matter, they have everything in front of them to show that they did take out this account or they didn't, and they made a payment or they didn't, and make a decision from there as to whether they want to settle or not.
You're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're speaking with Senate Consumer Protection Committee Chair Kevin Thomas about his bill creating the Consumer Credit Fairness Act. If someone is racking up debt and debt collectors are coming after them, I imagine they're not in a position where they can necessarily afford the best legal help. So what sort of services are available to New Yorkers who might find themselves in the situation? You mentioned your own experience prior to the Senate. Are those types of services widely enough available, or is that something we also need to be focusing on in terms of ensuring that access to that legal help?
So after the 2008 crash, a lot of these programs went into play, especially in the city, where they had volunteer lawyers in housing court and volunteer lawyers in consumer debt court as well. And they are there in various parts of the city court system in lower civil. They are available, but obviously they're not as widespread as they should be around the state. It depends on the budget of the court system and the capacity of these legal services institutions. Mm-hmm. But they are available. These programs are there. And my experience, when I was in court every single day, I would make an announcement to those who are sitting in court, obviously with the permission of the judge there, that I was available and my staff was available to take on their case for the day. And it's limited scope. It's not as if they sign a retainer saying we're their attorneys for the rest of the time. This is just for the representation in front of the judge for that day, for that specific case.
So in the press release announcing that your bill had passed the Senate, it's described as a compromise bill. What did you have to settle on to get the industry to come on board with this? Because there is, you know, some support from the New York State Creditors Bar Association and Encore Capital Group. So what did you have to do to get that buy-in?
So one of the best parts of this bill, I mean, there are so many different parts, but this lowers something called a statute of limitation to collect on a debt. So before the bill was passed, of course, the bill has to be signed into law for it to take effect. Mm-hmm. But currently right now, when you breach a contract, it's 6 years here in New York for someone who's been harmed by that breach to bring a lawsuit. This bill, once signed into law, will lower that statute of limitations to 3 years because creditors would sometimes sit on bringing these actions and the litigants would not have any idea what is going on after 6 years when they get sued. So we brought the statute of limitations down. One of the provisions when we were negotiating was the other side didn't want the debt to be extinguished if it goes beyond 3 years, meaning like after the statute of limitations had expired, for example, the law basically says, all right, you can't, if you're going to sue, that lawsuit would probably be dismissed. But they still wanted the ability to basically say, all right, it doesn't get extinguished, but the individual that owes the debt may pay it back if they so please. In a way, this is voluntarily giving up money without having to go through litigation. Those are the kinds of things that we were negotiating. There were other provisions that were negotiated as well. But remember, this bill was introduced, I mean, more than a decade ago, sometime in 2009. And it took a long time to negotiate and renegotiate to make sure both the advocates and the industry were happy with it before it could move any further, because this is a huge change to the collection world, bringing the statute of limitations down and not extinguishing the debt, but you're still allowed to make payment and to address all the other issues of missing paperwork when the lawsuit is filed. So this is a major turning point here in New York in terms of debt collection.
So now that you've got this bill through the legislature, what other priorities, especially in the consumer protection world, are you thinking about for the final week of the schedule to end the legislative session?
Well, we've got one major bill that we're pushing right now and negotiating through, which is to lower the judgment interest on consumer debt. So right now, if a judgment is entered against you by a credit card company, auto loan, etc., it's a 9% interest that you accrue every single year on the judgment. But I have a bill that lowers it and caps it at 2%. We are working on that for the end of session. Hopefully, we can get this through in the next couple of days.
Where does that 2% number come from? How do you make a decision like that in terms of that consumer protection level?
So we looked at what other states did, and we looked at where the 9% came from.
Mm-hmm.
This was like something that was on the books like decades ago when interest rate, something that high was normal. Right now, our mortgage rates are hovering around the 2 to 3%, and treasury rates are even like lower than that. But this is where we negotiated and we were able to make the advocates and the industry happy.
And finally, as you think about consumer protection actions, how do you see the line between when, you know, a person should have known better and that person was a victim of predatory behavior? Is there any good way to define something like that, or is it kind of like pornography? You know it when you see it.
So with these kind of situations, no, like none of the clients that I represented in my close to a decade of practice in the lower civil court, I've never seen them like take out a credit card or take out a car loan and say, oh, I'm just not going to pay.
Mm-hmm.
Life happens. Most of the time when we look at the credit card statements, you see individuals that were paying for years on end, and then they lose a job. And they either have to put food on the table, take the subway to work, or not pay their bill. And these are, I would say, debt that is to survive. It's survival debt that I saw. And this, you know, boils down to poverty. And this was them just trying to make ends meet and being able to put food on the table and balance things out. It's not a situation where, hey, I bought this and I'm not going to pay it. Let them sue me kind of situation. This was more or less they were good consumers. Then life happened, and especially what we went through last year and we continue to go through with number of jobs lost and the debt that's racking up. This is all about survival, and we shouldn't label them as delinquent or anything like that. It's just life happened, and they had to choose between paying their bills or putting food on the table, and, you know, things happen. And that's why, you know, we're here in government to, you know, make it easier for them and for others to survive.
Well, we've been speaking with Senate Consumer Protection Committee Chair Kevin Thomas. Senator, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate focusing on the bill.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.